When David cried out and said, my soul waits for the Lord, for the living God. Hallelujah. He said in Psalms 42, as the deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul thirsts for you. He said in Psalm 63, my flesh thirsts for you. My soul longs for you. In a dry and thirsty ground where there is no water, I want to see your glory and your power, even as I've seen you in the sanctuary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We are three-dimensional beings. We are spirit. We have a soul, which is spirit. And we have this flesh called the body. And these three dimensions, they have what satisfies their existence. They have what feeds their desires. Every one of them, they are created with a desire for hunger. They are created with an appetite for surviving, how to live and how to survive. Every one of them are created with a habitation, a place that they dwell. Every one of them is created with an opportunity to grow based on how they feed with the things that are meant for them. The physical realm is the habitat of the natural man. And so God has provided everything for the natural man to grow, to be healed, to be empowered, to be strong. In the physical realm, the natural man lives by food, physical food. So God has made food possible through trees and through all the things we grow and we cultivate in agriculture. So the natural man, when you eat the physical food, it has the vitamins to perpetuate the healing and the growth and the multiplication of the cells and everything that makes up the physical body to function healthily. The physical body survives with food, but also the physical body has a life makeup called the blood that supplies all the vitamins and all. It runs through, it keeps the life, is the life of the flesh. But the blood also have to have certain ingredients that makes up the blood. The blood cannot function without oxygen. It cannot do anything. It cannot really. It cannot live without water. So the physical body needs water to cause the blood to receive and to build its nourishment. The physical blood needs oxygen. It helps the blood to live. So all this makeup, they become they create a chemical for this physical body to live. So the days before sin came strong into the world, this body had a capacity to live 900 and above years. Amen? But because of the degradation of sin and God reduced the expectations of men to about 120 years because of what sin has done in the atmosphere. The oxygen was very pure and just great, but the oxygen has been polluted by sin, and that has affected the ability of men to live a pure life. So, man lives by these physical provisions, oxygen, food, and water. I think science says our body is made up of almost 80% of water. So these three things, without it, this body would just collapse. So they are the pillars of this body, oxygen, water, and food. And all this, you know, consists of the life of the blood. That's called the physical realm. Then there is a realm called the spiritual realm, but the spiritual realm, because of the fall of man, there's a separation. When God breathed into man, he made him a living soul. A soul is comprised of the mind, the will, and emotion. It's spiritual. But this spiritual man can never be fed with natural things. Never. But because this soulish realm is hidden and clothed with a physical body, and because from the fall of man, the soulish realm is separated from God, was separated from God, Satan, the god of this age, has blinded the minds of men so that they will not be able to see the reality of the spiritual world. That man is a spirit. So because of that, we are so carnally focused. And because we're carnally focused, our energy is driven for carnal existence. So this is the only way we pacify the soulish hunger. The soul can never be fed with physical things. I hope you get that. So because of that, the carnal man is not aware of how to feed the soul. And because of the darkness that is surrounding the fallen man, so man by nature is craving for the presence of God. And that longing in the soul of a man, this mind and the will and the emotions of man, which is spiritual, there is a longing in every soul, every man. David says it's like a deer panting for a water brooks. There is such a hunger, there's such a desperation for God, for the breath that is not natural. For the water that is not natural, for the food that is not natural. But because man is blinded and concealed from the reality to receive these things, there is a void in our spiritual man. That emptiness is referred to as a void in the hearts of men. So how do we fill this void? This void is now replaced by three dimensions of expectations of the soul. One is called through pride and through the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. These things are not of God, meaning they are not of the Father, means these things will never feed the soul. How does this lust work? Because it started with Adam and Eve in the garden. The pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. These things are the counterfeit appetites of man that can never satisfy the appetite of the soul. So the soul is hungry and desperate. So some people depends on the chemistry of the geographical place you're raised up, or the atmosphere, or the people, the chemistry of your upbringing. Your soul will begin to taste towards what is available in your area. If you're raised in some kind of political home, or raised in some kind of aristocrat home, or some kind of homes that are into, you begin to hunger for power. Your soul is hungry for God, but now flesh, the blindness of this world, converts that hunger for power. And then you begin to go to school. I want to be a politician. I want to be this. I want to be a great name. I want to do this. I want to do that. So your mind is bent towards that. And that begins to become a pacifier for your soul. You are now driven towards something that will pacify your expectation and your goals. And that gives you, you are hungry. Your soul is hungry. You're not feeding it, but you're pacifying it by having a worldly dream. So that drives your pride, and that drives your lust, that drives the passion, that drives the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride. Okay, if you're raised in an environment where maybe somewhere in the Middle East or in India or somewhere, somehow you're raised in a Hindu or an Islamic nation. You are driven and your soul now is connected. You are immediately made aware to something spiritual. And you become connected to an Islamic expectation, and they begin to see your fathers worshiping and doing these things, and your soul is driven and you want to be an imam, you want to be this, you want to be that, you want to be a radical or whatever. Your soul now is driven to fill this void, but now you're filling it through a dark window. Based on wherever you're raised, some people are raised in an environment where they never had the opportunity but surrounded by lust. So they are driven by lustful desires. They are driven by lustful goals. Some people are surrounded. Wherever it is, the pride has to be fed. The lust has to be fed of the eyes and the flesh. Whatever it is, it drives us. But really, what is hungry in us is the soul. All these things are pacifiers. What is a pacifier? A pacifier is what you give to a child that is screaming for food, is screaming for water, and is just crying. The child probably just ate 2 minutes ago. So what do? You put a pacifier in his mouth, and it begins to suck it. In the child's mind, it feels like it's eating, but nothing is going in. Because the parents don't want to keep feeding that child. They know if you put something in that child's stomach, the child will eat and just blow up. So they say, okay, we'll just give you a pacifier. So in the child's mind, the child is sucking something that looks like it's the same like the mother's breast and everything. And in his mind, because it's a child, it feels like he's eating. So the child is pacified now. As we call it, pacifier. But nothing significant is going in at all. So it's the same thing. All the things we gain through pride and through the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes never satisfies the hunger of our soul. It just pacifies us until. So that's the reason why Jesus was walking by and was on his way to, and the Lord God, he can't do anything unless what the Father says. He turns around and says, I must by all means go through Samaria. Because here is a woman that has been so hungry for God. God sees this woman, and this woman is groping in darkness. Like he says in the book of Acts, you know, he says that God is the one who set the boundaries of our habitation so that we might seek him happily. As we grope in darkness, we might find him. Grope. We are, it's like somebody looking for something. So God, in his mercy and grace, looks and sees that though this woman is trying to feed the longing of her soul, but she is feeding it with something else. She's dropping, goes with this man, drop that. Go with this, never satisfy. Go with this, never satisfy. Go with this, never satisfy. And she was never satisfied. And Jesus came and revealed the mystery of the river of life. He says, I have a water. I have something if I give it to you. This physical water has a physical reality to your body. But I have something similar to this water, but it's spiritual. That when you receive it, you will not thirst again. When David said, my soul waits for you, my soul longs for you, my soul thirsts for you, this man is talking about spiritual hunger. You see, waiting on God is the only way your soul is fed. You can't be fed any other way. You know, when you go to the restaurant to eat, you don't eat and be walking and be doing things and be eating. When you eat, you sit down, you drink water, you eat, you're talking, you're communicating, you eat. You don't eat when you're walking, you don't eat when you're playing, you don't eat when you when you really eat dinner, you sit down on dinner table. That's why the only way your soul is fed is when you wait upon your Lord. That word wait is let every physical expectation give room for spiritual desires. And you cannot do that by being very busy in the physical realm. So coming to church or coming to prayer or studying the word is the word waiting on God. You are yielding your soul. You're stopping every busyness of life so that your soul can be fed. Because just like you do with your physical nature. And that's why David said, my soul waits. There's no other way to feed your spirit or your soul than to yield it to the time your flesh is waiting. Your flesh is stopping everything so that your spirit man can be fed. One time, I was in a tall building here in the city. And the Lord, you've heard me say this, maybe some, most of you have not. The Lord wanted to show me something. He says, I want to show you the devil. I thought I was going to see the devil face to face. I didn't mind. I want to see how he looks like. And I was waiting. And he says, go to your window. And I went to the window and I was waiting. I just thought something would just appear, you know, as I was looking. And I was looking out over the courthouse and all the downtown. Just I was facing the courthouse, just looking through that window there up that building. And I was looking, and he says, look, I just kept looking. And he says, that's the devil. I didn't understand. And later the Lord was showing me, he says, why he says, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He says, you cannot serve two masters. It's impossible. He says, you either hate one or, you know, what is this talking? I looked and what the Lord was showing me was people were busy running. Everybody was busy, business center, everything. And God says, that's the physical realm. And the prince of this world is a master, is a tax master. He would, like the children of Israel, the reason they did not know their heritage, he became a tax master. They worked so hard that their soul had no time to connect to their destiny. Their soul didn't have enough time to be fed, and they lost the heritage of Joseph and became slaves to Pharaoh. They lost their identity. So the Lord says, you see, when people get this busy, that is flesh. Your soul is lean, dry, and desperate for God. So he says, the enemy does this so that he can alienate us from spiritual realities. God is not against blessing, against word, against walking. Amen? So Jesus gave this woman this water, and it was a living water. And the woman tasted it. You know, just by speaking, tasted it and says, wow, I must tell this story. I must go. So the whole reason I went through this process is to let you know that there is something about people who taste something. There is something it does to them that they want to share it with somebody else. The gospel is a good news of what God has done for you. It's not trying to preach this head, not. It's just share your testimony with somebody else. Whether it's a little thing God has done, it makes a difference. Amen? So those are, we're not going into that whole thing about the spirit, soul, and body. But I just wanted to use that just to establish the point that you can never feed your spirit through natural things. It's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. Amen? You only feed your spirit with spiritual things. You only can feed your soul with spiritual things. So because of that, Solomon made it even more clear. And then we just pray. Let me just quickly show you what happened to Solomon. Solomon inherited a place. His father was a man after God's heart. He knew what his father stood for. He knew everything about his father. But Solomon had so much prepared for him. Solomon had never known war as his father. He just had everything prepared for him. And so when God blessed him and gave him wisdom and everything, Solomon did not take that whole blessing and says, now that I don't need to go to war, I don't need to be distracted by all these things, let me give myself to God. The reason God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, gave them money, gave them everything, blessed them, was to show them what their soul really wants. And if they don't go after it, they lose the whole reason why God brought them out. He brought them out to seek after him, to come. He gave them money, gave them, but they could not seek after him. They still want to walk. So the same thing with Solomon. God blessed him, gave him everything, and that was for him to find exactly, to take what his father has done to another level. But instead of taking the heart of David to another level, to wait upon the Lord and to really cause Israel to go deeper with God, instead, he took the whole blessing and became spiritually lazy. What is spiritual laziness? Spiritual laziness is taking material blessing to feed yourself. And Solomon said, it became a vexation to my spirit. Misery. What was the misery? Solomon will marry a wife, and these are kings, these are well-bred women. He will marry one, it wasn't enough. He will marry another one, it wasn't enough. He will marry another one, it wasn't enough. Something was void in his soul. He built buildings, he built temple, his house. He took how many years to build this? He built magnificent buildings. He was not satisfied. He went from, that's unbelievable, isn't it? From 100 to 200. From 200 to 300. It's hard to count. Then to 700 wives. He was possessed with lust. He still wasn't satisfied. What was it looking for? His soul was now becoming lean. His soul was becoming so starved. So he thought, if I marry more, I will be okay. If I do more. And then, not only that, he said, let me stop marrying. Let me have concubines. He had concubines. 300 concubines. The word concubine is a politically correct word for adultery and fornication. It's just a nice word to cover for adultery. Concubine is a married man going out with another woman. And you keep that woman as your mistress. You deny them marrying the husband they're supposed to marry. And you keep them and you're using them for your own personal gain. And they use the word concubine, like it's a good thing. Anyway, Solomon got to that point. Then Solomon had power. Politically, he's king. Everything he wants, he has it. But it was there. If there is anything, God allowed this to happen, because later Solomon repented. If there was anything God allowed this to happen, was to show the whole Christian race, the whole human race. Nobody till today, if you evaluate the wealth of Solomon, has ever gotten to that level, to today's currency. But God used that to show that if I give you the whole world, you become more misery if you abandon me. It will never feed your soul. And out of that, Israel, you saw what happened to Israel from that point. So this reality of the spirit and the soul is the devil that blinds our heart from seeing it. Even as believers, we are still seeking things like the Gentile world than the way God. God says, put me first, and then every other thing you do will not stand in the way of your soul. This woman drank the waters of life, and immediately she was delivered from the spirit of harlotry. Five husbands, she's with another man, and that was the end of it. I went to fix my car today and took it to the Honda place for them to do some service and some things. And the reason this came to me for us to pray, there's a prayer point, and actually that was a word that God gave Nancy yesterday about the harvest. But I'm going to read a scripture. We'll just pray that. But I want to use that scripture for us to connect to the hunger in other people's life. If you can just see it, I don't care who is in that street, whether he's a billionaire or a poor man, or has anything, if that man is not saved, you have an access to his heart. But not religion, not preaching. All you need to know is everything this person had, his soul is empty. And that man can drink just a little bit of water or just a little bit of bread from heaven. It will ignite something. And that little water or that little bread is called your testimony. Your testimony. What is your testimony? Your testimony is what God has done for you that nobody can deny. It was God. That's all. That is water to a thirsty soul. That is bread to a heart. That's all. You don't need to preach. Just share your testimony and you begin to overcome things in people's life. You begin to envelope. That's all. The woman just simply went to the city and said her testimony. And the people like, wow, I want to see that man. And the reason why God opened this simple, giving people water to drink when they are thirsty, giving them a little food when they are hungry. The reason God opened this to me tonight was because what happened at the Honda place. I found out the gospel is very easy. I didn't know how difficult I've made it. But tonight God says, just water, bread, your testimony. Nobody will beat you for telling testimony. Nobody, anywhere you go, not that you go to people and every, you have to, God will lead you, God will be saved. Your testimony can come in different ways as you meet people. Or if you leave this place tonight, and all you know about giving somebody cold water to drink or food to eat is your testimony, the gospel has been made easy to you. And it's not you that quickens it. Once you give people, you give a hungry heart water, the water will go, oh, thank you. Once you share your testimony, you have sown a seed. Because testimony is the undeniable power of God that happened to you. Faith over, you leave it in their heart, that's all. But you can preach this, and to them it's like, I've heard it so much, I don't know what it means. I was at the Honda place there, I just came, and I was excited, they were going to do the car. I just came out, and you know these car salesmen, they don't know strangers. They can see you from a far place, and they just holler like they've known you forever, you know. So, you know, The two of them were sitting there, and one of them just said, hey, where are you from? I said, Texas. I just said, I don't know why I said it for some reason. I just know why that came out of my mouth. I said, okay, sorry. I just came back from Texas not too long. And the guy said, you know what? I'm from Texas. You see? And the guy said, I'm from Texas. Where did you go to in Texas? I said, Dallas. He said, I came from Berlin. That's my place. He said, I didn't know why. That's the spirit of the Lord. I'm not from Texas. So, and then I didn't even think twice. I said, everything in Texas is big. And before I thought about it, it was too late because this guy is a very big guy. Very overweight guy. I didn't think. Before I said it, it has come. And when I said, everything in Texas is big, the guy is... God has a sense of humor. Amen. He said, the brother replied and said, everything in Texas is big and better. I said, great. So he said, for real, where are you from? I said, from Africa. He said, oh, okay. And then I just started talking. I said, you know what? I just don't know why this came to me. As we're just talking, I said, I'm so excited. Let me share a testimony with you about what happened to me in Texas. Maybe that's why I told you I'm from Texas. He said, okay, tell me. There were two of them. I told him, I said, I went to Texas. I was about to get into the conference and something hooked my car. And God, it's amazing. The person, the mechanic, were just right there behind the hotel to fix it. And I just took it and they fixed it right there. I said, that's amazing. This is a short version of what happened there. You know, I said, that was amazing. God knows that. And right there, it was fixed. I was just excited. I said, that was amazing. And the guy said, that's the Lord, isn't it? That's how God moves. Immediately, what I was sharing caused him to open up that he's a Christian. So he forgot about his car sales and he said, you know what? He said, so what do you do around here? I said, we just pray and we seek the Lord and we do different prayer things. He says, okay, I need you to really keep me in your prayers. He says, you know what? Let me tell you something. He says, I might not pray, but this is what happened to me. I was driving in Texas. I've forgotten where he said. I was driving and I was at a place and I was shot. And he turned and showed me where he was shot. And he said, the bullet went from here, and he showed me and the bullet went from here and came out here. Just like that, just came out through the other side. He says, blood was everywhere. He was just there. And he said, he has never known God. But he put his hand and he says, if there is a God, I need you now. He said, that's all I said. He says, and the blood stopped. Everything stopped. I mean, he says, I cannot explain it. I did not know what that meant. He says, but from that point till now, I don't know why. I don't know why God saved me. I don't know why he did that. But I'm still trying to find out why. I said to him, I says, if God did that for you, that means God has a purpose for you. He said, yes. He says, from that time till now, he's still struggling to find out what it is. He says, but one thing he can do is to share his testimony. I said, take your testimony and share it. He says, yes, he shares this once in a while. He gave me his card. He can come and share. This is an amazing testimony of what happened to this man. So while he was sharing his testimony, the other brother sitting there, I can tell he's backsliding, clearly backsliding, also was provoked. He said, my father was a traveling singer, a gospel singer for years. He passed away and my mom is 83 now and stuff. And then we just started talking right there and the atmosphere changed. And they were so bold about the things of God. And the brother got up and came to me, this big guy. I heard his hands. He looked at me and we kept talking. He says, please pray for me. And he gave me his card. I want to be in touch with you. I want to connect with you. He's in the Ringo, Georgia area. And he comes to sell cars at Honda. And then all through, I was waiting for them to fix my car. I was inside West Kim. They would go and they would see me. It just changed. It just like we've known ourselves forever. Before I leave, he came back again and just on and on.
The only mistake is I forgot to leave my number with him, because I know that he want to stay in touch. But I have his number. I have his card in my, he gave me his card. This is his card here. So why did I say that? Tonight, the Lord said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. He said, pray for the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth. That word send forth means ekibalo, means trust, push, pull, uproot, send forth, send. Meaning, some of us has been sitting forever with our testimonies in our pocket. God is not telling you, see, that's what he made the gospel. God is not saying, go knock on people, go, it's okay, you know, all those things. But he's not saying, go do something that intimidates you, something that frightens you. All he says is, share your testimony. Who in this place does not have a testimony? So I told that guy, you don't have to preach. He was getting convicted about, oh, do I, you know, I can tell he's running from, you know, I said, you know what? You don't need to be preaching it. This is the marketplace. This is where the souls are. He says, you know, I've heard that before and you're saying it again. So this is your pulpit. This is your harvest field. Share your testimony. He was so happy. He changed his day. My brothers and sisters, tonight, he told them to pray that the Lord of the harvest will ekibalo, will trust, will send forth. So personally tonight, I want us to be like Isaiah. You know, he says to pray, we pray, we have different callings, the prayer, the waiting. But while we are waiting, Jesus still sent them to go do things while they were in preparation. They still did things until they were ready. So tonight, let's just simply ask the Lord to manifest enough compassion in us to give somebody a cup of cold water, a cup of food. And what is that? Look for an opportunity to share your testimony. It will open doors of discussion. Don't preach to people. That will close their mind. But share your testimony. It's like you're giving a hungry person water to drink. And what is, give me more, give me more. What did that, one little testimony, they just started talking. They didn't, it opened the door. And they want to come to your house. They are hungry. So let's pray for God to open our testimony. Some of you have even 5 testimonies. Some of you have 10. Some of you have so many testimonies. What are you doing with it? What am I doing with mine? So tonight, God says, the gospel is simple. Amen? 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 Amen. So let's pray for the Lord of the harvest. Let's ask the Lord tonight. Let's be like Isaiah. When God touched Isaiah, Isaiah says, now that you've touched me, I will go for you. I will go. I will share. I will go. Amen? So let's pray tonight. God, wherever I am, give me an opportunity to share my testimony with somebody. And God will show you which testimony to share. And God will always show you which testimony fits this person's life. God will show you, and your testimony is all they need. That's water to their soul. Last Sunday, the young girl that came to preach would have preached, read gospels and read, God led her, God told her, when you come, don't do anything, just share your testimony first. And just the fact, the moment she entered the vein of her testimony, that immediately like a river flowed out of her, and that river fed the souls of so many on Sunday morning. God took it, and many were so touched and broken because it was a water coming out of the fountains of our brokenness, and it quenched the thirsting of many people. My brothers and sisters, we have a hungry soul. We have hungry hearts out there. Nothing can fill it but a spiritual hope. Nothing can satisfy but a spiritual. The life that touched you is the same life that can satisfy. So I'm going to ask one person from the back to lead us to pray. One person in the middle and one person in front. And then Cody will seal for us. I will start. Father, you are the river of life. You are the light that shines in darkness. You are the bread of heaven, the bread of life. You are the source. You are everything. Father, I thank you tonight for the ABC of the gospel. Father, it is so easy to share my testimony to anybody, and then you do the rest. Father, tonight, turn our testimonies into a river of hope for people. Turn our testimonies into the breath of life. Turn our testimonies into a salt that creates a hunger in the souls of men, that stimulates a thirst. Father, make our testimonies, no matter how big or how small, a light, a ray of light in the darkness of the souls of men. Tonight we thank you. If we do our part, your spirit will do the rest. It might be a seed to a soul. It might be a water to another soul. But it's you who manifests the increase. So Father, thank you for your grace that equibalos us, that sends us for, that carries us, so that we will not rely on our strength, which men despise, but we rely on this river of grace. We give you glory and honor. Thank you for your anointing upon us. In Jesus' name. So just lead us one person from the